Hey, let's talk about angels. I want to do several lessons on angels, so you'll have to come back to our YouTube channel just to hear some more. But the first lesson I want to talk about is kind of the nature of angels and answer the question, how many angels are there in heaven? So that's something that I think everybody would kind of like to know. So let's get started. Well, the first thing you have to understand is that there is another world that coexists with this world. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, which means that there is a world that you can see, but there's also evidence of a world you cannot see. So you have to believe, as I do, that there is a spiritual world that coexists right along with this natural world. One is natural, one is supernatural. And so part of it is the world you can see, part of it is the world you cannot see. That's why the Bible says that the Apostle Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. Now that's almost like one of those two-way mirrors. So on one side it looks like a mirror, but on the other side it looks like a window. And I think that heaven can see us, but we can't see heaven. But it still exists. And so a part of that are angels, and angels walk among us all the time. As a matter of fact, I believe that everybody that watches this video has seen an angel. Now, you might not have identified it as an angel, but I believe everybody has seen an angel. I believe that if you love the Lord, He sends angels to help you. So let's kind of talk about what the Bible says, first of all, about angels. Well, it's interesting that 34 books of the Bible talk about angels, and in 273 different scriptures. Now, there's a word called malach, which is the Hebrew word for angel, and there's a word called agelo, which is the Greek word for angel, but both of those words mean the same thing, and it basically means an ambassador, but not just an ambassador. It's a deputy, somebody that has full authority to go and represent a government or a king or a person. So if the sheriff sends his deputy, that deputy has the same authority as the sheriff when he shows up, because the full measure, the full strength of the police force is behind that deputy. When we send an ambassador overseas to negotiate on behalf of the United States, whether it's a peace treaty or a business deal, that ambassador speaks for the United States of America, and all the full strength of our nation is behind it. It's the same thing with an angel. When an angel comes to visit you, an angel has an assignment and a purpose, and it comes with the full authority of the Father, the full authority of heaven, to do whatever is necessary to fulfill that assignment. Well, I told you we were going to answer one question, and the question is, how many angels are there? Well, the Bible gives us an answer, but it's not actually a number. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, that you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. So it's talking about heaven and the innumerable company of angels. So that means that on the earth, at least on the earth, we have no number that represents how many angels there are. You know, when John saw the angelic choir, now this is just one choir, he had no way of describing it. So he describes it as 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I don't think there's any way of calculating that number. So 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul said they are innumerable. There's just no way to count them. It could be that we don't have a number that big, or it could be that God just keeps making angels, and therefore the number keeps changing. I mean, God did create angels after all. If you want to know where angels come from, well, there's lots of scriptures, and we don't have time to go over all of them, but there's lots of scriptures that talk about where angels come from. So let's go through, let's just do three of those, all right? So let's start with Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their host. So right off the bat, he tells us that the same God that made heaven also made the heavenly hosts, which is another name for angels. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth." And then listen to this language, "visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." I mean, he covered it all right there. So he says that all things were created by God, including dominions, principalities, powers, thrones. So anything that has authority, God created it. And then the Bible says in Psalm 148, and I love the Psalms, so I could just talk about those for days, but Psalm 148, which is one of the hallelujah Psalms, says this, "Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts." Verse 5 of that chapter says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." So it would appear as though God spoke them into existence the same way he said, "Let there be light," the same way he called for animals, and the same way he created all the earth, he spoke it into existence. So it would seem as though God called angels into existence as well. So therefore, he can create as many as he wants. Well, what did he make them out of? Well, because they're celestial beings, they're heavenly beings, they're probably similar to what God is made out of. And so, well, what is God made out of? There's a good question. Well, God describes himself in four descriptions in the Bible. Now, he says things like, "I'm your shepherd, I'm Jehovah Nissi, you're the Lord, your banner." So he gives us things that he does, but in four different verses, he tells us what he looks like or what he's made of. First of all, he looks like light. So 1 John 1 and 5 says God is light. Hebrews chapter 12 and 29 says that God is fire. John 4 and 24 says that God is a spirit. 1 John 4 and 8 says that God is love. So think about this. If you combine all these things together, we have what we would probably term as a spirit being. It's a spirit that can kind of look like fire, but it also can look like light. You know, sometimes when we think of angels or we even think of spirits, we think of ghosts. And, you know, we use the term Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost kind of interchangeably. And so sometimes people get in their head that it's a ghostly type figure, that God is ghostly type, which means kind of see-through, cloudy looking and see-through and maybe a little bit of light in there somewhere. Well, that's kind of our imagery of a spirit because we have a hard time wrapping our head around it. But the truth is, spirits can appear just as solid as a human or as solid as a bookshelf. I mean, they can appear in all kinds of forms. So when angels appeared, when Jesus appeared in the Bible as a Christophany, he showed up as a rock one time. If Jesus can show up as a rock, God showed up as fire one time. So if God can show up as water and fire and the Holy Spirit show up like a dove, then a spirit can take on any form. So maybe the best way to understand the way God looks and works is that he takes on whatever form is necessary so that we can identify with him in that moment. So I would say that angels are pretty much the same thing. Now, what angels are not, our dead loved ones. They are a spirit. Their spirit has been released. So in that sense, they are like angels. The Bible does tell us that they will have glorified bodies fashioned like angels. So in that sense, our dead loved ones are angelic-like. But angels do not have a redeemed soul like mankind does. There's a big difference in how humans were made and resurrected and how angels were made. Angels also have a purpose and assignment. I believe your guardian angel is on assignment. I believe everyone has one, and I believe that it was assigned by God for you. And so your dead loved ones can be looking after us. I do believe they can visit. That's another lesson for another day. I do believe they can come to you in your dreams and speak with you, as can angels. But I don't believe that our loved ones become angels who become our guardians. No, I think your guardian is there the day you're born and stays with you. But your loved ones do play a part, I believe, in your encouragement and in evoking your memories and maybe intercession in somehow. I do believe that they do play a part in our spiritual life, but they don't play the same part as an angel. So let me give you one final story before I close this lesson out. A time that I believe could possibly be the only time that I can identify an angel that I personally saw. So my daughter was attending Lee University. We lived in St. Louis, Missouri. Lee University's in Cleveland, Tennessee. And so my wife and my youngest daughter, we were traveling to visit her in college. It was in the wintertime. I'm thinking it was around Valentine's, so maybe we were going there for Valentine's Day. And what I do remember mostly about the weather is that it was snowing outside. Not to the point that we couldn't travel, but it was snowing outside, and there was some snow on the ground in certain places. We were going through some area of Illinois, and my wife and youngest daughter wanted to go in and, you know, get some snacks in this gas station. And so I didn't actually need any gas, so I just pulled up at the front of the gas station. And there was another car beside of me, and an elderly lady was walking around the car as though she was confused. And I just kind of felt sorry for her because she seemed to be very confused. She was saying, the vision, there's something wrong with the vision. Now that made no sense to me, so I just thought she was confused. Well, you know, deducting it the best way I could, I thought, well, maybe she can't see out of her windshield. It's snowing outside. Maybe her windshield got dirty. Maybe she's out of windshield wiper fluid. Well, anyone that lives in a wintry climate knows that you carry that antifreeze type windshield fluid in the wintertime that doesn't, you know, ice up or freeze. You pour that in the reservoir to spray on your windshield. And I happened to have some of that in the back of the car, so I went out and got it and had like a full gallon. So I went over to the lady's car and I popped the hood. She allowed me to do that. And I remember taking the reservoir off, the lid off the reservoir for the windshield wiper fluid, and she didn't have any in there. So I poured her reservoir completely full with this jug of, you know, windshield wiper fluid that I have. Popped the lid back on there, popped down her trunk, and I was going to say, go in there and let's try your windshield wipers and see if we can clean your windshield better. But before I could, this lady who was walking around grabbed my hands and looked at me, and it kind of startled me when she did that because I didn't expect that. But what she said even shocked me more. All she said was this: God is getting you ready for what he has ready for you. And I thought, what? And I said, well, excuse me, what did you just say? And she repeated it. God is getting you ready for what he has ready for you. It was about that time I heard my wife and daughter talking. They were coming out of the store. So I have this jug in my hand. I just turn around to talk to them and I say, honey, I want you to come here and meet this lady and hear what she just told me. And my wife, Faith, says, what are you talking about? Are you pulling our leg? And I thought, what do you mean? And I turn around and the lady's gone. The car is not there. The lady is not there. The only evidence that I have proving that she was there was this partial jug of windshield wiper fluid that I just opened and obviously had poured most of it out. That was the only evidence I had. I think my wife thought at first I was just kind of joking around. Until we got in the car and I didn't speak for over an hour. And then she knew that when I don't talk for a whole hour, something's up. And then I was able to explain to them what had happened. And of course, they didn't get to experience it, only I experienced it. I've never forgotten that. The thing that surprised me the most about this lady is not just her disappearing, but when she spoke, I looked in her eyes. I'd never seen eyes like this. That usually you see an iris and a pupil, and there was no pupil in this eye and really no iris. It looked like the ocean. It's the best way I can describe it. Inside of her eyes looked like I was looking at the blue Caribbean Sea with water in it. Almost looked like water in her eyes. I've never seen any person look like that. And that was the other indicator that I knew I was talking to a heavenly being. So, you know, I'm quite sure, positive really, that I've met lots of angels in my lifetime on the mission field, and I've probably given some money on the side of the road that were just there to test our hearts. I'm pretty sure that I've seen angels, but that's the only one that I can identify as an angelic person that I personally met. So I hope this inspires you. This series is going to be great. So I'm getting ready to do another lesson. So you want to tune in because this will be loaded up before too long. And you want to come back here to YouTube and watch the one on angelic visitations, because I'm going to show you how angels show up and what kind of forms they take when they show up. You don't want to miss that. So until next time, be kind to everybody because you may see an angel and not know it.